com.
Chana uzima Kuna kesha kulitabiri Pendo kuchina, baby Tena wengine wakubwa mili Watu wazima
Tanga kunani Kurugu mechi mkwa kwani Mtoto dari wakandana Samba chumbani Yendo mesi wanjani Usini pie simba ya
Maka masulani Jinsi kuna tetem Surazari na sani Shepu sepetu em I say You're fire baby you
Fire 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 baby
Fire oh oh
Fire 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 baby
Akicheka sura kitoto
Fire 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 fire
Akini usa kabisa no moto
Fire 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 baby.
Let me tell you something about this bubble
Fire fire
Love I get for him because of rubble
Fire fire
Come and see the way they love they make me to gyrate
fire, fire.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, WMNF 88.5 FM. This is Midpoint News and Talk with your host, Nola. Yes, we are back and better than ever on this wonderful Wednesday afternoon, November 11th. It is 12:08 p.m. Right here on WMNF 88.5 FM, located in Tampa, Florida, but I know fully well you hear us everywhere. And hopefully you've downloaded a free WMNF app. So that way you can listen to us on the go anywhere on the planet. That's WMNF, and you can listen to us at WMNF.org. Those are the wonderful sounds of Diamond Platnumz, and it's called Fire, obviously, because I expect a very, very fiery show today, because we have a few things to talk about. And a big shout out to Radioactivity for bringing us in the right way. Wonderful show by Rob Laurie. Thank you so much. And of course, we have a phone engineer today. Jessica is going to be a phone engineer today. A big shout out to Jessica for being here today. And if you want to join the conversation, you have anything to get off your you want to discuss, feel free. Questions, comments, or concerns. Phone number is 813-239-9663. Or you can send me a text at 813-433-0885. Or you send me an email to dj@wmnf.org. So it's November 11th, right? Fully well, the election results shows that the next president is going to be Joe Biden, and the next vice president is going to be Kamala Harris. So far, what we've seen so far is the current president of the United States, Donald Trump, has refused to concede, which is expected by the big baby in the White House. But the surprise is the number of Republicans, they are willing to claim false reasons why our elections were not full of integrity. Now, I don't know about you, but there are a bunch of people out there who are terrified about the current events right now and the trend at which people are willing to go to question our electoral process. Now, I know some people joined the program right now. It's the Midpoint News and Talk with your host, Nola. I remember 2018. Now, one of my favorite things about the Comedy Central with Trevor Noah is the Daily Show, rather, on Comedy Central with Trevor Noah. They have this little mashups, right? And if you listen to the last program, you probably heard it. But I was so, when I saw that, I figured, you know what? I have to play this clip. I have to play this clip because this was the right. the conservative right, talking about the 2018 elections, midterm elections, about the Democrats. But take a listen. Take a listen.
Democrats are being sore losers. They refuse to acknowledge they lost the election. So what do? They cry malfeasance, wrongdoing, criminality, fraud.
Democrats, more so than Republicans, seem to have a problem conceding defeat. Either the election system broke down or some mystery votes are hiding somewhere.
You know, a whole series of Democrats who just said bluntly, if our candidate doesn't win, they stole the election.
The Dems just want to make America suffer. It's like losing the World Series and demanding an extra inning a day later.
The Democrats are refusing to accept the declared results of the national media. So how do they do this? Lo and behold, they find missing ballots.
The radical left is attacking the sanctity of our votes,
refusing to accept the midterm election results. So what if these were Republicans refusing to concede?
Democrats may see how they'll be able in the future to steal elections through lawsuits that they can't win with the voters.
Ramping up election conspiracy theories, accusing Republicans of outright stealing the election. Kind of rich. You know what? Sounds sore loserish.
Well, that was a whole bunch of talking heads, a bunch of politicians and whatnot in 2018 when the issue was on the other foot. But the difference is, this time around, when you have the president of the United States questioning the sanctity of the vote of the people, this is a little different. And it's a little scary for a whole bunch of people out there. And I'll tell you what, there are a bunch of people out there that are paranoid about what's to come. Because now you have about roughly 70 days after the elections for the president of the United States to do God knows what. I mean, he's firing a whole bunch of people in the defense at the Pentagon and whatnot. And people are anticipating, what is he going to do? But there are people out there who are not concerned. And one of the people who's not concerned at all is the president-elect. Take a listen.
I just think it's an embarrassment, quite frankly. The only thing that, how can I say this tactfully? I think it will not help the president's legacy. I think that I know from my discussions with foreign leaders thus far that they are hopeful that the United States democratic institutions are viewed once again as being strong and enduring. But I think at the end of the day, it's all going to come to fruition on January 20th. And between now and then, my hope and expectation is that the American people do know and do understand that there has been a transition. Even among Republicans who are people who voted for the president, I understand the sense of loss. I get that. But I think the majority of the people who voted for the president, a lot voted for him, a significantly smaller number, but a lot voted for him. I think they understand that we have to come together. I think they're ready to unite, and I believe we can pull the country out of this bitter politics that we've seen for the last 5, 6, 7 years.
And just to follow up on a previous question, how do you expect to work with Republicans if they won't even acknowledge you as president-elect?
They will.
Well, that was the president-elect Joe Biden at a press conference yesterday. But I want to, speaking of unity, today's Veterans Day. I want to take this opportunity to thank all the veterans and veterans' family and friends to take a chance to honor them for their service and sacrifice to this country, all over the world, for everything that we talk about in this country, the electoral process and some of the issues that we go back and forth about. And I think on Veterans Day, you take some time to say thank you to those veterans out there and their families. Because a lot of times when you have veterans deployed all over the country, one thing people tend to forget is how much of a toll that takes on their families, the ones that are back here, or the ones that actually have to leave to go be with their spouses or whatnot. So a big thank you to our veterans out there on this wonderful Veterans Day. So we always have to keep that in mind. Yes. So question, your thoughts, 813-239-9663. I know the phones are blowing up right now. You can send me a text to 813-433-0885. What are your thoughts about the current predicament? Do you think the idea that the president-elect Joe Biden keeps talking about unity and whatnot. And when you see the right in their responses to the election, at least in public, because you can hear a whole bunch of them behind the scenes talking about how they don't want to cross Donald Trump because they're worried about his voters. What does that say the perspectives of we unity in the future? If these people can't come out and defend the country, the country's vote, the country's electoral process. You have Republicans who are actually attacking Secretary of State in Republican and red states. In Georgia, for instance, calling for the Secretary of State to resign. Think about that. I mean, what are your thoughts? 813-239-9663. Let's go to Laura from Winter Haven. Hey, Laura. Good afternoon, Laura. Welcome to the show, Laura. Can you hear me, Laura? Hey, Laura, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. I have two comments. I just want to say thank you for the veterans for their service. And it brings me great sadness that Trump called us. Okay.
Please. Please, I feel like, I mean, maybe I just have to reiterate that we have to abide by FCC rules here. So there's no cursing, no swearing. Because we'll get fined and we don't want that. So please, no cursing, no swearing. Let's keep this PG-13 out there, okay? So let me go to Mike from Tampa. Hey, Mike. Good afternoon, Mike. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Yeah, the thing that really made me sick was to see all those people dancing in the street celebrating Joe Biden's so-called victory.
Why are you saying so-called victory?
Well, because I think there was a lot of fraud.
Why do you say that?
Because there were dead people born all over the place.
Where's the proof of that happening?
Well, there's one.
There's
man.
No well, Mike. There is no proof okay. of that happening. So
yes,
you're just saying.
There's one man in Nevada.
What's the name of the man?
What?
What's the name of the man?
I don't know.
Where does he live?
I heard about it on the
How old is he?
Report.
You just know one man. Come on, Mike. Let's not do this. All right? Let's not do it. I got to go, Mike. All right? We're not doing this today. Okay? We're not going to spread propaganda. If you have information, legit information out there, and that's verifiable. Okay? So we'll do that. It's just not, who's the man? There's one man there. There's one woman there. There's this and that there. That's a Donald Trump thing. Okay? Stop it. Let's go to Danny from Tampa. Hey, Danny. Good afternoon, Danny. Welcome to the show, Danny.
Hey, Nola. Well, I tell you, Mike still can't get over Bernie Sanders.
Well, I mean,
unbelievable, Mike. You know, Joe Biden won. He's a president. He's going to be the president-elect, Mike. He is the president-elect, Mike. Oh, happy day, Nola. Oh, happy day. Let me tell you something. When they announced that Saturday morning, 11, I was watching CNN and Will Blitzer, and they announced that, I got so high normally that I didn't have to smoke a joint for like 5 minutes.
Oh, my
okay?
God.
But let me tell you something, Nola. This is something. And you know what? We expected the little crybaby to do this. Let me tell you something. This guy, you know, Nola, he got close to 71 million votes this time.
That's a lot of votes.
That's a lot of vote for Trumpism. Now, listen to this, Nola. These are people who see something in this guy that I don't know what it is. I mean, they must like Juan Gonzalez said last week. They must like the fact that the people want to live under tyrannical rule. They must like the fact that they want to be told what to do by a dictator, because that's exactly what he is. He was not fit to be near 100,000 yards of that.
I will say this though. I mean, I think last week I tried to point out that a lot of times, like, there are things that a lot of us or everybody in general are passionate about, and you think it's just a no brainer for you to vote for somebody because of this reason, and it shows just shown by this vote count in which like a whole bunch of people got involved in the electoral process, which is a good thing.
It's a great thing.
Danny, do you think it's fair to say, okay, the reasons why you wouldn't vote for Trump is the adverse reason why people voted for Trump? I mean, because don't you think there are a whole bunch of people, the vote is so much, 71 million people, that there has to be a large sum of people out there that said, you know what, I'm voting for Trump over Biden because of this reason, not necessarily about, you know, his character or whatnot.
Well, I think a lot of the, you mean his supporters?
Yeah. I mean, just people that voted for Trump in general. I mean,
I think that they like the personality of him being a tough guy, which he's not. He's a fake tough guy, and they're conned, and they're easily conned, and they like the fact that some of them like his policies. Sure, of course, a lot of them like their policies, which we disagree with that. But let me leave you with this: in the end, it was a lot of his pride, but it was his personality and his temperament that lost us. And then plus the COVID, to his reluctance to even try to do anything about COVID and lie to people. And I'll tell you what, he got 71 million votes, Nova. There should be no votes for him. If it was a normal day, nobody should vote for him. And anybody who voted for him, I'm sorry, I don't want to be cruel. I'll just leave it at that.
All right, thanks a lot, Danny. Appreciate
you.
Thank you so much, Danny. 813-239-9663 out there. I mean, because the president-elect Joe Biden is talking about unity, bringing the country together. I mean, that's a tall order. That's a tall order right off the bat. Look at what these people are, the kind of energy he's getting from the other side. I mean, I think a lot of times talking about how he's going to unite the country and whatnot, do you think he needs to focus more on trying to govern and quit saying talking about how he's going to unite the country? Because it doesn't seem to me like the other side of the aisle is trying to do anything or come close to working with him whatsoever. But maybe it's just politics for the meantime and not trying to offend the voters out there, because you know there are a bunch of 2020 for hopefuls out there that want to run for president in the Republican Party. Let me go to Daryl. Hey, Daryl. Good afternoon, Daryl. Welcome to the show, Daryl.
Well, how you doing?
How you doing, sir?
Well, let me just say this in the vein of people who think that the Democrats stole the election. Let's just play pretend right now. Like, remember Goldfinger? I'm coming in the vein of all the arch criminals, like who was the first one? Dr. No and Goldfinger and Anstavro Blofeld and
you're going old school.
Brock. Yeah, all of them. You would think that my diabolical scheme, it finally hatched and everything is going according to plan. And I got Joe Biden in there and I got Donald Trump. He's going to be out. Wouldn't you think if I control the reins of power, I would want to have eliminated the people who would block me from getting my schemes together, like Mitch McConnell? Why wouldn't I want to defeat him? And also, why wouldn't I want to defeat Lindsey Graham? That seems like I took care of all the big stuff, but I forgot about the little things. Wouldn't you think I would want to do that?
Well, I mean, now you're talking about just simple logic out there, which it's obviously not so simple. Some things when you put one together. And I mean, I'm just trying to be a realist out there, because I mean, those are some of the questions out there. There's some things that just don't add up, and you would think, you know, logically, why would you make that claim? But a lot of people do. A lot of people on that side do believe that. But I appreciate you, Daryl. Thanks a lot, Daryl.
Thank you, Nolan.
And stay safe out there. The hurricane warns out there. Please, everybody, stay safe out there.
Yeah.
Heed to the warnings. Thank you so much. 813-239-9663. Let me get to some text messages out here. Oh, I got a text message from, I'm trying to see the name. Say, yes, I think we're spending way too much time focusing on what Trump's doing or not doing. We should keep our eyes focused on what Biden and Kamala Harris are doing to put the country together. Off and stop giving attention to the baby in the room. Okay, you have to put on a big boy pants and walk out. Yeah, I think I agree with that. The fact that, you know what, these are not the norms. But do you want the media to ignore the fact that, you know, he's saying he was robbed. He's saying the election was a fraud. He's saying this is coming from the highest office in the land. Outright saying it. Putting out conspiracy theories out there. So it would be different if he was just talking in a bedroom or a basement somewhere. But he's saying, and he has a state TV that's pushing this conspiracy theory. So it's something to be concerned about. Because one thing about behavior, and I talk about it all the time, right? Behavior doesn't stay the same. It either gets better or it gets worse. There are people out there who are going to push the same envelope the next time. And if lucky or unlucky, or however you want to classify it, they might be smarter than this one. And the idea that they've gone this far to push the norms should worry anybody that's concerned about the democracy of this country, period. A fair warning, tornado warning for Pinellas County until 12:45, including St. Petersburg, Largo, and Pinellas County. That's a tornado warning for Pinellas County until 12:45, and that's including St. Petersburg, Largo, and Pinellas County. So please, stay safe out there. Let's get back on phone lines right now. Let me go to Timmy. Timmy, from St. Petersburg. Hey, Timmy. Good afternoon, Timmy.
Hey, how are you doing?
Well, hopefully, Timmy, you heard that the PSA right now, the warning, tornado warning.
Yes,
okay.
I'm actually in the vehicle right now heading towards my wife.
All right. Thanks a lot.
One of the things that I wanted to bring up as part of this conversation mm-hmm. is just stressing the need to really involve moderate Republicans in how this we take control of this Trump issue that you're talking about. And I really think that we need to keep making sure that we're reaching out to our neighbors and trying to include them in this. Otherwise, I mean, like, who has the best chance?
Can I ask you a question? Are you saying that as a Republican, or are you a Democrat, or are you?
I was a very passionate Bernie supporter.
Okay. So you're saying pay attention to the moderate Republicans.
Yeah, and I mean, these are the conversations we should be having with our friends, our coworkers. And just really starting to demystify some of these lies that have been perpetuated for now going on 4 years. I mean, what the Washington Post have his lie tracker at, last I saw in July, it was like 22,000 lies mm-hmm. that he's told in the last 4 years. And I also think that we need to keep in mind, I mean, with us not campaigning in every state, due to the electoral college system, we really are leaving a huge percentage of the country kind of at the mercy of whoever wants to pick up the megaphone and start talking about it, whether it's a Rush Limbaugh type character. But we really need to start reaching out across state borders and really start changing the consciousness of our nation in terms of where is this conversation going. I think we've made a lot of great progress over the last 4 years. I think we've really started to finally acknowledge Black Lives Matter. And it's not belittling other people. It's really just stressing some of these systems that have built up over the years. I find it shameful that we have forgotten about the South Miami to an extent that arguably the party which has the best policies for the majority of that populace, lost out. And if we're supposed to take this energy that was generated by the millennials, and whether it be Elizabeth Warren supporters, whether it be Bernie Sanders supporters, which eventually led into Joe Biden supporters, we need to take this energy and keep listening to all these supposedly disparate groups and start acknowledging.
Hey, Tim, I got a question for you. As a staunch Bernie supporter, and you mm-hmm. mentioned South Florida, one of the questions that arose from the results from South Florida is the idea that the Republicans sold, you know, the idea of not turning this country into a socialist country, and mm-hmm. when those residents out there, especially the immigrants out there from South America. The mere mentioning of socialism worked against the Democratic Party, and someone for someone saying, okay, you want them to listen. So is this mm-hmm. something that you think maybe this party establishment got right, in which they were afraid of being labeled a socialist, especially when you, especially if you have a candidate that calls himself a democratic socialist. Now, I don't want to go back into the weeds and litigate the primaries, but I just want to make this point, because you talked about listening. And if you're saying, okay, you want them to listen to people, especially from South Florida, one of the things that worked against the Democratic Party in South Florida is the idea of socialism. And if you have a candidate that's calling himself a democratic socialist, we know fully well what that means if you actually a political junkie. But if people just read the headlines and go, oh, that's socialism, I don't want that, even if they get benefits from the government of the United States of America. But do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand?
I agree with you on those points. And that was one of the things that brought me concern, too, on a couple of reasons. The first thing I want to say is that I believe maybe it was on Sunday. I forget which show I was listening to on WMNF, but the gentleman brought up the point that if you have to explain what your
slogan
thing is about, you've already lost the battle. And I thought that was a pretty profound point, and I do agree with that. And I think that also speaks to where it hit me as well when I found out that the South Florida was vote was lost, and I do acknowledge it was from the labels that were put on, was why was the Democratic Party's platform there so weak that one issue was ready to topple it? Why have we not been engaging the Latino and Latina community at a level that was even a question? And that was really what had disappointed me about, I guess, more.
And I think also, because I do appreciate the points that you're bringing up, because it gives us an opportunity to have this discussion out there on WMNF 88.5 FM. Is the idea that, you know, when we talk about the Latinx community and stuff, I think we've established the fact that they're not a monolith. You have the Venezuelan immigrants, the Cuban immigrants out there, and you have a Mexican immigrant who could be, you know what? They all vote differently. And so to actually classify them and say, okay, if we just have this one-size-fits-all here for everything that you're concerned about, it's probably a non-winning issue. But you bring up good concerns out there. I do appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Tim. And stay safe out there. All right?
And I appreciate you as well.
Thank you.
I want to say that as a teacher of all these communities and one of the most diverse schools in the nation, that I really do appreciate seeing the distinction made between just Latino and Latina as a whole as
right.
well.
Right.
And thank you for your service.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. 813-239-9663. Join the conversation. Let me go to Dave. Hey, go Dave. What's up, Dave? Good afternoon, Dave. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hey, Noah.
How you doing, sir?
How you doing?
How are you?
Good. Yeah, I've been listening to this program from the top, and I've yet to hear anybody mention Georgia. You know, and I don't care what moderate Republicans think. This is about power, and we all ought to be talking about how to help those two Senate candidates in Georgia, because if the Democrats win control of the Senate, they can actually do something. If they don't, it's going to be 4 years of stalemate. And I don't care what moderate Republicans think. I don't care what the fascist Republicans think. The game's in Georgia. And people in Florida and everywhere else ought to be thinking about how they can help those two run by us. That's performance art. It's garbage, and it's all there to fire up the right wing up in Georgia. And it's time for Democrats to start playing the same game. Get their base fired up. Get them out. Win in Georgia. Take the Senate. And then things can actually start happening in terms of legislation, election reform. All the things we've been fretting about the last 4 years can happen if the Democrats win the Senate. They won't happen if they don't. That's the game.
Good point. Thanks a lot, Dave. Dave thinks it's Georgia. People need to focus on the two Senate runoffs in Georgia. So, yes, I mean, that would give the Democrats 50 senators in Georgia and give the vice president a tiebreaker for any gridlock out there in the Senate. So, yeah, it's still right there. I mean, I believe the runoff elections in Georgia is January 5th. So the campaign's on the way, and Stacey Adams, I'm pretty sure, has got her sleeves rolled up for the Democratic Party. And it's not going to be easy because they have a Republican governor, they have still have a Republican president, and it is Georgia, after all. So, yeah, Dave makes a good point. Thanks a lot, Dave. Appreciate you. Let's go to Carlos. Carlos, hey, Carlos. Good afternoon, Carlos. Welcome to the show, Carlos.
Thank you, sir. How you doing?
How are you doing, sir?
Very good, very good. Yeah, I'm just regarding the statement that I made last week. I won't say, the majority of his supporters, which I will say 51% uneducated. And it's a very, it's a lot of danger for the country now. Look, there is this epidemic, and most of Trump supporters, most of them, not all of them, they don't wear masks. What are you going to do with these people now? What are you going to do? People that they don't believe in the science. This is a major problem for the country. And this,
Do you think the idea the mask became political just really came from the top? Like if you had a regular Republican, just any Republican that was president and say, masks were important. Do you think that will make a difference?
Absolutely. Where it is the base and educated, and there is a problem. This is, I don't know if you go to Tennessee, go to some state, and the numbers are sky high because of these people they don't believe. Look, I give you a quick example. I was last Saturday watching a news network announcing Biden won. They went to New York, they went to D.C., and then they went to Arizona to show Trump supporters, 1,000 of them. I will say 9.99 no mask. They show New York, D.C., 99.99 wearing masks.
I think that's a high number, Carlos, but yeah. I understand your passion out there. I mean, to say 99, that's really high on both sides. No. But
what I'm saying, what they were showing on TV, what I'm telling you,
right.
This is a big problem. This is more about Trump. When we have big segment that doesn't believe in the science, this is a big problem. I mean, what are we going to see about, countries in Africa that, that they have two schools in the whole country? I mean, they ask them, put mask. You have Ebola, put mask, whatever they do it. Right. I mean, you have people now that they don't believe in science, they don't believe in global warming. I mean, how it's going to impact Biden in the future? He's the president now, and he's going to say, hey, put the mask. And it's like, oh, my right, I'm not going to put the mask. What are you going to do with these massive 71 million people? I'm not saying most of them. Let's say just 40 million of them.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Right. I think you raised some good points. I appreciate you, Carlos. Thanks a lot. Yes, a concern about that.
Because
thank you so much. I mean, when you talk about the coronavirus and we talk about the numbers, and I'm pretty sure there are a whole bunch of people out there who know somebody or somebody that's actually succumbed to the virus. And the idea that this became political, this became something that of birth of some conspiracy theory, like a mask, a simple mask, just to put on the mask. I mean, you don't have to, but it's, and I think more of that had to do with what we have coming from the top. I mean, when you have the president of the United States standing in front, at the briefing room talking about, I don't think it's that important. And for those who don't remember, when we're speaking of the coronavirus and what the temperament was with about the coronavirus, let's take a listen to how people were so skeptical, especially on the right. And when you hear messages like this, I think it's hard when people support you, when they hear things like this about the coronavirus, you can understand why they don't adhere to the safety.
Tonight, I can report the sky is absolutely falling. We are all doomed. The end is near. The apocalypse is imminent, and you're going to all die. Or at least that's what the media mob would like you to think.
Yeah, I'm dead right on this. The coronavirus is the common cold, folks. The hype of this thing as a pandemic, as the Andromeda strain, as, oh my God, if you get it, you're dead.
This is one of those cases where the more I learn about coronavirus, the less concerned I am. There's a lot of hyperbole.
The national left-wing media playing up fears of the coronavirus.
The sky is falling because we have a few dozen cases of coronavirus on a cruise ship. I am far more concerned with stepping on a used heroin needle than I am getting the coronavirus, but maybe that's just me.
It's a virus.
like the flu. All the talk about coronavirus being so much more deadly doesn't reflect reality.
This virus should be compared to the flu, because at worst, worst case scenario, it could be the flu.
The far more deadly, more lethal threat right now is not the coronavirus. It's the ordinary old flu. People are dying right now.
The flu is here.
Nobody has died yet in the United States, as far as we know, from this disease.
That's right.
And the facts are actually pretty reassuring, but you never know it, watching all this stuff.
You want to know how I really feel about the coronavirus, Juan? If I get it, I'll beat it. I'm not afraid of the coronavirus, and no one else should be that afraid either.
It is very, very difficult to contract this virus.
It's milder than we thought. The fatality rate is going to drop.
So when you hear the context, it's not quite as scary.
It's actually the safest time to fly. Everyone I know that's flying right now, terminals are pretty much dead. And then the planes, remember back in the day when you had a seat next to you, possibly empty, you could stretch out a little more? Yeah. It's like that on every flight now.
One of the things you can do if you're healthy, you and your family, it's a great time to just go out, go to a local restaurant.
Yeah.
Likely you can get in easily.
Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz mocked concerns about the spread of the virus by wearing a gas mask on Capitol Hill.
When a reporter in the Capitol asked Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma, 85, what precautions he was taking, he extended his arm with confidence. Want to shake hands?
In our line of work, you shake hands. I expect the president will continue to do that. I'll continue to do it.
We have contained this. We have contained this. I won't say airtight, but pretty close to airtight.
It is being contained. And do you not think it's being contained?
Zero people in the United States of America have died from the coronavirus. Zero.
This is a flu. This is like a flu. It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
I felt it was a pandemic long before it was called a pandemic. I took it very seriously.
By the way, this program has always taken the coronavirus seriously.
That was a flip-flop. I mean, just imagine. Okay, just imagine. If all you watch is right-wing media all day, or you listen to the right-wing radio all day, Rush Limbaugh and whatnot, and this is all you hear every single day. Every single day. And then the president of the United States comes out and talks about how this is nothing is going to go away. Currently, the coronavirus, worldwide, we have 51.6 million cases, 1.28 million deaths. In the United States alone, we have 10.3 million cases, 240,000 deaths. In Florida, currently, we have 852,000 cases with 17,247 deaths. In Hillsborough County, just Hillsborough County, we have 51,000 cases with 847 deaths. Now, when you listen to those numbers, especially the deaths, those are families, okay? Those are families. Those are families. I mean, this, to me, is on borderline criminal. And negligent of the country and the office of the presidency. But when you listen to those clips, imagine people that's all they listen to every single day. Yeah. No, you can imagine why people think this is a hoax. It's not important. 813-239-9663. Let me go to Joshua. Joshua, hey, Joshua, good afternoon, Joshua. Welcome to the show, Joshua.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for playing those clips.
I mean, sometimes I think we do forget a lot. I mean, a lot of people have forgotten some of the things that happened in the past 4 years. So you just have to remind people of what's going on sort of before they make up their minds out there. But anyway.
I was shaking my head as you ran through those. It's unbelievable. You know, the country has to understand that this man got fired because we've lost over 240,000 people. Who would ever hire a man who is that negligent? He caged kids. Have we forgotten? Some of them can't even locate their parents anymore. He's over 200 and something, about 2,000 plus lives. You know, the race baiting. You know, New York. I went to school in New York, City College. The reason why New York never votes for this man is because they know him for who he is. He's a number one con man. Apparently, a lot of people are buying that down south for whatever reason, which I believe a lot of us know. whoever hires a man that says that he grabs women or whatever and is okay. And a lot of the evangelicals, the so-called mega pastors, who've lost respect because of their firm belief in this man. If there's any other place a man is accused of abusing a child or a woman, that person will be locked up. But it's okay for this guy to neglect all of that and still push this man. Just to make two more points.
So Joshua, when you see 71 million people, after all the things that happened,
yes,
voting for him, which we know fully well that the Get Out to Vote campaign was enormous on every scale in this country for this election. So it was going to, affect all both sides, primarily all sides, but primarily both sides. So, but when you get this many people, after everything that we've known, because in 2016, there were a bunch of people out there that go, okay, yeah, we don't know very much. All we know about is The Apprentice. And when you actually have a persona on TV for over a decade as a boss, someone that does business and whatnot, it's reasonable for people to buy into, oh, he's a successful businessman. He's been on TV for over a decade. And the Trump name is the name that globally people know that name.
Yeah.
But after 4 years, and you see what kind of job he had done, and for 71 million people to still say, you know what, that's the direction you want to go for another 4 years, what does that say to you?
Well, that brings me to the other point I wanted to make. And listen carefully. You say, thank God for people like you. And I think that the Democrats and some of these people need to wake up. You have to have a kind of narrative on radio. For whatever reason, I don't understand why people cannot put their money behind some of voices like you, because when you allow things to go on over and over and people hear the same narrative, they buy into the lie. So we need people like you. We need people to sponsor people like you. And by the way, there's going to be failure. Because somebody doesn't cut it for a year or two does not mean that we shouldn't continue what our project should be. So we need radio talk show hosts, especially down south, that will be really well-funded to kind of all some of these, you know, narratives that we hear. And as long as we can do that, we are going to help a lot of our community. This is the only reason why a lot of them vote, one of them, why a lot of them voted for him. But the other one we all know too well has to do with race. Whether anybody wants to believe it or not, I'm in Manatee County. You know, this guy, you, as long as he's Trump, he can do no wrong. And the only reason that is because of his skin color. I'm sorry I'm saying it this way, but this is what it is. And I know people will say, well, what about the feeling of the other people and what they think? Trust me, it's not about their feeling. We all know that. We live down here. But we need somebody. And people like you on radio, we need people to fund them. We need people to sponsor them, no matter what the outlook looks like. And with time, it will change. That is truly what we need. And please, the socialist thing that people talk about, we understand what they mean by that, but they should stop those words. Don't use the word socialist program. Nobody wants to hear that in America. Even if you think you're right, you need to coin your word a little better so that people understand where you're coming from.
Great points, man. I appreciate you, Joshua. Thanks a lot, Joshua. And stay safe out there. All right. Thank you so much. He talks about supporting us. I will say this. Our supporters do a good job and supporting us every time we do a fundraiser out there. That's the only thing I could ask for. And so that, you know, platforms like this, I mean, stay with the curve out there. Just try to match up what disinformation is out there. I mean, if you listen to that clip and you kind of imagine some of our grandparents out there, our grand neighbors out there, especially older people out there that just watch one channel all day and every day. That's what they believe. They believe what they hear, and it's not true. And they can't even imagine that it could be legal for people to say those things. And it's baffling. And it's going to get stronger. It's going to get stronger. When you have the president of the, now they've made it to the conspiracy theory clan right now. I've made it to the White House. They had a one term at the White House and to spew all that nonsense. So let me go to CG. CG, good afternoon, CG. Welcome to the show. Hello?
Greetings to you, Noel. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Thank you so much. From Lando Lakes.
I don't know if you know this, but the clip you aired at the beginning of the show was virtually inaudible, so we didn't really get to hear it.
Was it?
Too bad. Yeah, couldn't hear it. There's no volume to it at all. I called in and told the young lady, but it was already over.
The last one I just played?
No, not the last one.
Oh, the first one.
The one you opened the show with.
Oh, okay. I'll fix that. So, all right.
Anyway, so I wanted to agree with one of your earlier callers. The most important thing to focus on right now are the two open Senate seats in Georgia. I mean, this is what's necessary to be able to effect a change because we have Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham over there controlling the Senate. So if they can't win these two seats, winning these two seats allows a tie, which will be voted by Kamala Harris
right.
as the vice president. So it would make the Senate 50-50. So it's really important. It's probably the most important thing on our agenda right now than anything else everyone's talking about. But, you know, I really enjoy your show. and you're one of those with these public affairs programs that do a really good job in bringing us guests and pointing things out. And I think it's important that we look at the voter suppression and election fraud, not voter fraud, election fraud, a whole different story,
right.
that keeps going on in this country by Republicans for the most part. And there's a couple experts. Greg Palast is an expert on voter suppression, and I'm sure he has a lot to say about what happened in this last election, especially in South Florida. He had warned
right.
that over 300,000 votes would be suppressed in South Florida, and it appears that might have actually happened, which is why Trump won by 300,000 votes.
Well, I mean the idea that Florida disenfranchised about almost 700,000 voters just because of the trying to get them to pay their fines before they actually get to vote. That has something to do with that. That was
that's did. But in South Florida, Latinos, young people, first-time voters especially, and blacks were disenfranchised and they had their ballots kicked out, especially ballots that were mail-in ballots. Mm. And I'm sure if you talk to Greg Palast, he'd be happy to explain to you what happened there. And then there's a former SOE of our Castle County, Alachua, Ion Sancho, who has been talking about, and no one's listening to him, well, some people are, the vulnerabilities of our election systems and the lack of transparency in those systems. I think maybe two guests you might want to look at for the future to have on your program and discuss these things, because we have to fix this now.
Absolutely.
We don't need to wait 2 years. We have to address it now. It's gotten out of control. It's terrible.
All right. I appreciate you. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks a lot. Yes, I know who Greg Palast is. It's a reputable author and freelance journalist out there, and he's very, very, very smart. Let me go to Rob. Go to Rob. Hey, Rob. Good afternoon, Rob. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Good afternoon, Noah.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. On this wet, soggy day.
Sorry about that.
That's not your fault. Yeah, you know. What you're seeing here, I think, is an extension of it's with the denial of the vote. It's a detachment from reality that went back. It goes back to when the Republican Party put out the welcome mat to all of these real fundamentalists, Christians, and evangelicals under Reagan. You know, from the get-go, you have people who are against science because they believe they want to believe the Earth is 7,000 years old because they take the Bible literally rather than symbolically or metaphorically. And so they have to argue with science there. And then it goes on and on. Then you have the denial of global warming, even though the science is very clear that it's caused by man. And now it's going, where you have people going to websites that confirm whatever they want to believe, whether or not it's real or not. And again, you know, you have these ludicrous conspiracy theories and you have, denial of the vote. I mean, it was just amazing that there was a reporter, I think he was from CNN, who was going at a Trump protest, all these Trumpers, and just sort of spelling out, you know, why Biden won the election. One woman was like, I don't want to talk to you, you know. I can't, it's like sticking your fingers in your ear, you know. I can't hear you. They don't want to, you know, it's just, but it really stems from this deep-seated you want to believe something, and then you just deny the truth because it's a matter of habit.
Well, I will say this, Rob. I mean, apart from the fact that, you know, well, we have media outlets out there that just, you know what, hell bent on just giving out this information out there. It's one thing to not like a candidate or whatnot. It's another thing to just present the truth. That's not your job. Just present the truth. I mean, people are going to, if you're doing the work for the people, trust me, if you're doing the work for the people, they'll vote for you.
Yeah.
If you're doing the work for the people, I mean, it just seems like we've gotten away from that. We're not even trying to do the work for the people to earn the votes anymore. We're just looking for ways to litigate and just, you know, litigate our way to win an election and just grabbing power. That's actually what we're doing. Now, the interesting to me is it seems like a large part of a society is willing to take, you know what, singular examples to ruin an entire election when we have examples of individuals that need health care, but we won't deal with health care. Examples of video proof of like social issues when we talk about police brutality, but we won't reform those kind of things. But we're willing. So it's interesting when we have proof of things that we need to deal with, we never do. But when we have these things, this singular, yeah, I have information. We have Donald Trump retweeting on his social media.
Oh, I know. I know exactly what you mean.
$1 million for anybody that has information on fraud. Why do you need to do that if there's proof of fraud? You wouldn't need to do that.
Right. It doesn't matter if it's proof or not. If you believe it, that's enough.
Right.
You know, but it's like, I think Groucho Marx had this great quote where he says, are you going to believe me or your own lying eyes?
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Thanks a lot, Rob. Appreciate you.
Sure.
Thanks a lot. Let me just go to Bob from Winter Haven. Hey, Bob. Good afternoon, Bob. Real quick, Bob.
How you doing today?
How you doing, sir?
Good. After your last clip, you made a statement that Trump's behavior was borderline criminal. I have to disagree with you. I think it is criminal.
Okay.
Totally, 100%. And I'd like to leave. I know your show's about to end. And I'd like everybody to consider this thought, that at the rate of over a thousand people a day, Americans a day are dying from this pandemic because of Trump's inability to enact any kind of plan to stop it. By the time he gets out of office, over 70,000 more people will die. 70,000, over 70,000. We are going to top 300,000 people, American citizens, that are dead. So to me, that is absolutely criminal.
Mm.
And that's all I got to say.
Great points. Good points, man. Also, I want to reiterate, tornado warning in Hillsborough and Pinellas counties until 1:15 p.m. That includes all of South Tampa. Tornado warning in Pinellas County until 1:15 p.m. And also tornado warning in Pinellas County until 1 p.m., including Clearwater, Largo, and Dunedin. That's tornado warning in Pinellas County until 1 p.m., including Clearwater, Largo, and Dunedin. So stay safe out there. Get one more phone call in. Let's go to Steven. Steven from St. Pete. Hey, Steven. Real quick, Steven.
Hey, I just wanted to weigh in on the situation in the country. And you know, everybody needs to chill. Donald Trump's not going anywhere. So all the people with I hate Donald Trump's gut syndrome need to chill out. They're going to have a recount in Michigan. They're going to have a recount in Pennsylvania. And they'll probably have a recount in Georgia. And they should, okay? And, you know, and people that are thinking that it shouldn't happen, we got to remember what the Democrats did to Bernie in 2016, what they did in 2020 and the primaries. They're not above reproach. So we just need to see things as
well.
But
what did they do? Did they call it a fraud?
Someone has to tell you?
They called it election a fraud?
No, what I'm saying is what they did to Bernie Sanders in 2016, their books out. Hello. That admitted Donna Brazile's book and other people, whistleblowers, that said the Clinton campaign and the DNC cheated Bernie Sanders in 2016 and they'll do it again in 2020. Remember the primaries? Hello. They had three victories by Sanders. Biden finished second, fourth, and fifth. He was ready to drop out. And then Jim Clyburn was saying that Bernie needed to get out and he's just getting in the way, and Joe Biden was going to win every
time. So there was election fraud and against Bernie. That's what you're saying.
Absolutely. Well, okay. I mean, a blind man could see that. If you think there wasn't, How does a Democrat candidate easily win those three states?
Stephen, I don't mean to cut you off, Stephen, but I have a few seconds on the show. So, all right? So I don't mean to cut you off. All right, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay,
I appreciate you, Stephen. Thanks a lot, Stephen. Yeah, I didn't mean to litigate the Bernie Sanders and the primary votes out there. But stay safe out there. Happy Veterans Day to the wonderful veterans out there and their families and whatnot. Stay safe out there. Heed to the hurricane warning and the tornado warnings out there. We'll be back better than ever. Stay tuned for NPR News. And a big thank you to Jessica.